Good morning, KYOK listeners. Good morning, Sister Linda Randall. Good morning, the studiers and students of the Word of God. I am Reverend Lewis Winkley. I preside and serve at the Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, under the leadership of my pastor, Dr. Sheldon L. Jackson, by the power and guidance of the Holy Ghost. We have a wonderful, wonderful lesson for you to this morning at our Sunday school snapshot. Let me first and say thank you and how grateful I am that you give me another opportunity through the power of the Holy Spirit to share the Word of God through our Sunday school from our standard lesson commentary. Today we have as our last lesson from Unit 1 of Leaderships that set worship examples. In our last lesson, Fly 5 from Unit 1. Our lesson today will be Moses and Miriam lead in praise. So let us have a word of prayer when we get into the lesson. Father God, we just come to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given. Lord, thank you for allowing us to break the bread of life, Lord. Feed it to us ever gingerly, Lord. Strengthen us and nurture us to make us be the better where you get the glory out of our lives. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Link us together, Lord. Lord, teach us on all the different levels that we are in, Lord. But bless us with only your treasure that you can put nestled in us to make us be what you would have designed us to be, Lord. Where you get the glory out of our lives, it is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we ask for thy name's sake. And the people of God says, amen. Moses and Miriam lead in prayer. So for the foremost, this, as we are dealing with the unit of leaderships and how leaders in leadership and administrations on how they lead their people and by setting an example on how to worship. That's where we are. That's where we've been for the last five lessons. And this is the last lesson before we move on to the new unit next week. But the focus here is a song. It's actually the first song that is sung after the children of Egypt led out by Moses from, the children of Israel are led out of Egypt from through the power of the Holy Spirit. From Moses. So Moses leads them out. The children of Israel have been deadlocked in slavery and oppression for over 430 years. And to the day that Joseph and his family were put into Egypt 430 years later to that day, now we're here where they have been led out. You know the story about Moses. You know, Moses came in, showed up on the scene when the Pharaoh at the time of that administration was killing all the Hebrew boys. And Moses' mother put him in the bulrush in the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter found him and she was smitten by him on his healthiness and how he looked and how he responded to her. And she brought him in to be taken care of and raised inside of Pharaoh's under Pharaoh's roof. And surprisingly, God allowed his own mother to be the one to nurse him and take care of him. So, of course, Moses was educated in the Egyptian way. He was brought in through the Egyptian way. He was put in right in on the side of Ramses of Pharaoh and then his son. And they grew up. And then at the age of 40, Moses ended up killing the Egyptian because he was beating and torturing a Hebrew man. And of course he ran off, and we know that God spoke to him, sent him back with a staff, sent him back to go and pull his people out. We know through the 12 plagues, we know to let my people go, and we know that Moses led them out after the death angel. You know, the Passover, we talked about that, the celebration last week. And we get to this point to where Moses is allowed by the Holy Spirit to lead his people across the Red Sea and baptize a nation. you know, by water congealing on the right, water congealing on the left. And they walked on dry land all the way across. And when Moses' arms was up, the water stayed up. When God allowed the last Israelite to come across, the last cart of the Hebrew to come across the dry land and get it to safety, Moses put his hands down, and then the water fell upon the Egyptian and drowned all of them. That's why you see when it talks about and opens up where we are, the devotional scriptures with Psalms 104, and our background scriptures, Exodus 14, chapter 14, verses 21 through 31, and then jumps to Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. But as I always say, I suggest that you read the chapters in its entirety, chapter 14 and 15 of Exodus, so you get the full impact of what the Holy Spirit wrote by the pen of Moses concerning this. So when we open up, it says, then, verse 1, it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphantly, gloriously, and the horse and his rider have he thrown into the sea. Now, you know, right now, a lot of folks might not like that. I think, what is it, Peter, the one to deal with animals? I know they ain't want to hear about the horses that got drowned and got killed, but it's not about that. It's not about the horses being killed and they're innocent and they ain't nothing to do with nothing. They were just doing what they're supposed to do. That's not the focus here. The focus here is the song. This is one, the first song of the new nation of the Israelites as they are freed from slavery for well over four centuries and some change. So now they are singing a song of rejoicing about what God has done for them through the victory that God has brought for them. They didn't release themselves. They didn't rise up and have no revolt and escape and fight their way out. They didn't politic their way out of slavery from 430 years. You know, God allowed them to go to Egypt and have his people being taken care of when it was famine in the land. He still made it. And that's a word in for somebody today. You know, God is taking care of you right now today with things going on with groceries. Stores not having food, and the food they have is too expensive. You can't even afford it. And then when you do have it, you have to stretch out your food, stretch out your beans, put water in here and cut your food slice and fill up on bread and rice for your family to have meals. And then you can't forget anybody. You try to be there to help everybody because everybody's suffering. But God has made a way for you to do it, not only for you to have, but also for you to move in and you can thrive in him through your faith. So what is happening is here is exactly Moses and Miriam lead in praise. Moses is singing this song. Look what he says in that verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. And he is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. So what he's saying is, all this is God, and Lord, he's saying, this is who God is for me, my strength, and my song, and my salvation. He is my God. And so you don't get it twisted. Just because it's been this long, just because it's been 430 years we've been in slavery, he says, my father's God. So he's saying, this is the same God that made preparation and kept us and allowed us and then delivered us all by his might, by his power, not by nothing that we have done. He said, the Lord is the man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, that man of war means that God will fight. God will fight. He will kill. God is a killer. God will fight. He take care of his business. He does not play. He stands on business. Stand where they say 10 toes down. He stands on business. But the man of war means that he's the Lord of hosts. He's the host of the angelic armies. So when he want to get down, he go and bring the angelic armies and wipe out whoever he want to when he get ready. That's just like when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying, you know, with sweats of blood, you know, shoot, hey, and Peter pulled down down. When he got to the point where Peter pulled his sword on Machias, the high priest's servant, his assistant, Jesus say, "Man, don't do that." He said, "You live by the sword, you die by the sword. If I want to, man, I'll call for my father. I have legions of angels come down here and wipe this out. This is not how we doing this." So God got a plan. You know, everything got to be by force. But when he go, shoot, God don't play. So he comes in, he says, "Who is like unto thee, the Lord among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in prayer, in praise, doing wonders?" So he's pointing, Moses is singing this song, pointing out that the Egyptians they practice polytheism. They have a whole bunch of different gods they work, but not one of them gods saved them. Every one of the Egyptian military drowned in the Red Sea. So not one of their gods, they fictitious gods, they play gods. And you got to understand, there's a lot of people that got a lot of different things that they put as their god, but none of them is going to take care of them. None of them is going to deliver them. None going to offer salvation. None of them, they're going to be able to accept the praise, the true, sincere praise, because they're not real. And then he comes in, he says, "They're guided in thy strength." That's in verse 13. "In thy strength and thy holy habitation." So now we go down to Miriam. Let me go on and go down to verse 20. "Miriam, the prophetess, and the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel," that's the tambourine, "in her hand. And all the women after her found the timbrels with the dance." Look what Miriam says. "Miriam answered the song, 'See the Lord.'" This is called an antiphononial redemption. And what they did is like a call and response. You know, it's like Moses is singing the same song about how good God is and what he has done. And then Miriam does the same thing with the girls, with the females. And they doing this together because both of them know who God is and what God has done. And then just to bring it into play, you know how people be at the parties and they go on their line dance and they having all their good time and everybody doing their thing, trying to learn to dance and keep up with it. What if all that excitement, what if all that zeal, what if all that energy and all that expected is to praise God? Not just praising when things are good. It's easy to praise God when things are good. But I'm talking about when it's challenging, when it don't look so good, when it look a little dark, you still praise God with all your might. You dance and praise him and tell who God is in your life. And that's what Moses and Miriam, they led in praise on who God is and doing good and the bad. And that's what we should practice. I pray for you. I hope you have a wonderful time. Hope you get a chance to dive into the lesson and God give you what he would have is our prayer.